Wow. Good. Excellent. Well, how many people are excited to be alive? Okay, most of you. Okay, for those of you that aren't excited to be alive, hopefully after this message, you will feel more excited to be alive. And so we're going to put up a few scriptures. The first one, do you guys like the Word? Do you like being in the Word of God? How many people love the Bible? Isn't it great? I just love reading it, eating it, digesting it, listening to it. It's good, isn't it? I said to you guys earlier that my son has started to put the audio Bible on at night when he goes to bed. And now he's got an iPad and he's got like this little old iPhone. And so he runs them concurrently. And he says, play audio Bible. So it might be playing something from Leviticus. And then he says, play audio Bible. And then it's playing something from some other. And you go in there and like, oh my goodness, like how, it's just quite intense. So anyway, it is what it is. Anyway, get saturated in the Word. So good. Okay, now today I want to talk about seeing in the invisible world during times of trial. Seeing in the invisible world during times of trial. How many people have ever had trial in your life? Okay, just a couple. Awesome. me too. And it was funny, I did a test this week. I can't remember what it was called. It was called something a gram. But whatever this a gram was, I was a number 7. And Enneagram. And I was basically on my result, it said that I like to avoid pain at all costs, or that was one of the things. And I just laughed because I said, it's just so fitting. But what I found interesting in that, even though it was fitting to some extent, I just remembered, it was funny because I started praying through this message and I remembered some of the hardest times that I'd had in my life. And I know that none of you guys, or maybe some of you guys, have had pretty hard times in your life. How many people have ever had really hard times? Yeah. And I just remember some of the hardest times in my life. And I was thinking on these things and I was just remembering just how I didn't go there. I put myself back into a region and need some ministry. But what happened was I started to go back and I started to remember just for a moment in time, just remember some of my thought processes when I was in those seasons and in those times. And I just remember thinking to myself, sometimes I'm not going to make it out of this one. But, you know, trusting in the Lord, but actually saying, you know what, maybe this is the end. You know, maybe this is, you know, and I'm not being too melodramatic, because I think sometimes when life caves in on us, sometimes our mind and our heart do go to places where you think to yourself, well, am I actually going to make it through this? And I'm not talking about like dying necessarily, but I'm talking about your whole world. Can I make it through this intact? Because, and then your mind starts to go to other places. What is it going to look like on the other side? Or am I just going to finish this season with my entrails everywhere, all for all to see? And I just remember as I was starting to meditate on those things, and I know it says don't meditate on the things of old, but this was for the purpose of this message. I just remember each and every time God's faithfulness at speaking words in those seasons that helped ground me and helped empower me and gave me strength to actually see those seasons through. And I just want to encourage you in this, that it says in, I've said this scripture a number of times, but it says in the book of Psalms 138 verse 8, it says, the Lord will accomplish all that concerns me. He will. And how many of you, that encourages you? You know, it says that he completes the good work that he starts. It says that he will accomplish all that concerns you. But that's good news. Okay, some of you guys don't think that's good news, but it really is. And the reason it's good news is because how many of you know that God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end? And he already has seen what you're going to walk through, and he's already got a solution for what that looks like. And so it's really interesting. And I just remember, as I said, I was thinking about some of these times, and I just remember I'd see myself kind of on my face before the Lord crying and just going, help me, you know, and each and every time God came through, and he didn't just come through and I kind of made it. I didn't kind of make it. I came through in Christ victorious each and every time as God made me, God strengthened me and changed me and transformed me and really matured me through every trial. And I'm sure that there will be more trials to come in the future. I'm not prophesying that, but that's what happens in this world. And so, but the reality is, because it says in this world, there'll be many troubles, but trust in God and trust also in me. And so the thing is this, that I started to think about that and I was like, God, you are just so faithful to come through in every circumstance. And how many people know that that's a good idea? Or a good thing, sorry. Okay, so we're going to put up 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. We're going to read two scriptures from 2 Corinthians. And we know that the life of Paul is an interesting life. Excuse me. It's hot. And so, how many people really like hot tea? Okay, give me a really hot tea. Then they make it hot and it's like, mouth is scalded. And so, I'm just kidding. Okay, for momentary, everyone say momentary. Light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Keep going. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. It's interesting. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The things which are not seen are eternal. And so in the original Greek, the word temporal or the word temporary is the word proskimos. Proskimos. And what it means is that it means for a season or for a time. It means for a season or for a time. Just put that back up for me because I want you guys to catch this. So it says, while we look at the things which are seen, it says, for the things which are seen are temporal, which means for a time or for a season. What that means is it means that there is an end date, an end time to that particular thing. That's what it means for something to be temporary or something to be temporal. And this is really important. But the things which are not seen, everyone say not seen, are eternal. And the word eternal is the word aionios. I pronounced it five times this morning. And now, come on, Greek man, come on. Aionios. Aionios, yeah, it's good. Every time I preach, whether here or somewhere else, I'm going to have Nick on the phone. And the Greek word for that is aionios. And that word means forever, everlasting, that which has always been and will never cease. That which has always been and will never cease. That's like the same word, you know, when Jesus is with the woman at the well and he says, the water I give you will flow up to everlasting life. The word everlasting is the same word. It's the word eternal, and it means that it never ends. It's actually always been, and it never has an end date. So you can see you've got the word temporal, and then you've got the word eternal. And what this scripture is saying specifically is that though you have light momentary afflictions, if you focus on what you can't see, on something that has always been that never ends, it actually, and I'll talk about this in a second, will actually empower you through this particular trial and empower you to actually be able to see something through. When you understand that it's actually doing something internally for you that's giving you a new weight of glory. This is very, very important, especially in the seasons that in times that we're living in, and I'm not going into that now. So the word eternal, you know, it's the same word that Jesus uses for the everlasting fire in which he throws the angels, or the bad angels and the devil. And so, amen, exactly. So there's an everlasting reality. So you have to understand, or we have to understand, that when Jesus came to live in you, he came from everlasting. He didn't come from temporary. He didn't come from a time and a season. He came from everlasting. He who was always and will never end came from that dimension and released his spirit to become one with your spirit so that you would become a new kainos, new creation in him that then really is yielding to a brand new framework. And that framework is that you are not subject to the temporary, but you are subject to the eternal. Now, I'm not saying that we're not subject to the temporary sometimes because stuff happens. Everyone say stuff happens. You know, I've got this thing. I preached this word recently in Victoria. And they kept on saying shift happens. And I was preaching this word, shift happens. And I was like, yeah. And then they had a meme going around, shift happens. And it had my face on it. It's okay. The word is not a rude word. And what's really interesting, and this is no joke, I got home and there was a birthday card for me from my brother-in-law, and he designs birthday cards. And I opened the birthday card and it said shift happens on the front. I was like, wow, amazing. Isn't that amazing? Because stuff happens. How many of you know that's true? And so, but when stuff happens, how many of you know that God wants us to understand that whatever it is that we're going through, he wants us to understand that there is a plan, that there is something happening behind the scenes for us internally as we walk through that, there's actually buying something for us that we couldn't have possibly got if we hadn't been able to, or we hadn't walked through that trial with the Lord. How many of you are okay? Because this is going to, because you're going to be really excited by the end. Because you go, are we going into more trials? Yep. And so now, listen, Romans chapter 8, verse 18. And now, the reason I'm using these scriptures specifically, you might say, no, but this is about persecution in the church. But if you do any kind of research, and we look at scriptures from James, we look at scriptures from Romans, and we just looked at a scripture from Corinthians. Yes, it was partly to do with that, but many theologians say that you can't look at the afflictions and the suffering and the trials that Paul talks about and just accredit them to the persecution of Christianity. They say basically you can't do that. You have to look at it in a broader way, because how many of you know that there is suffering in the world? If someone is diagnosed with cancer, is that suffering? Well, therefore, the scriptures have to be able to be adapted, and I'm not saying out of context, but we have to be able to understand that the Word of God has the truth for every situation that we're going to walk through, and that truth is that God is always with us, and He will always do something that will blow our minds. It says that He will work for the good in all things for those who are called and love Him, and for those who love Him and are called according to His purposes, Okay, so Romans chapter 8, verse 18 says this, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time." Now, that's really interesting, isn't it? Now, the word present there is, I know this, how to pronounce this one in the Greek. This is really easy. It's N-Y-N, which is pronounced noon. Everyone say noon. And noon means present. It means now. It means immediate. I'm teaching you some Greek today. It means an immediacy. It means now. That's what it means. So what he's saying is, "For I consider that the sufferings of this noon, of this now, are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is going to be revealed to us." But the original, the textus receptus doesn't say to us. The textus receptus says revealed in us. So compared with the glory that is going to be revealed in us. Everyone say, glory is being revealed in me. Slow, no, I'm just joking, don't say that. Because it is, because this is what it looks like. And what's really interesting is that I feel like God wants to us to understand what it looks like for us to focus on the things of the eternal in whatever's going to happen, whatever happens on the earth. When we can start to focus on the things that we don't see, when the things that are unseen, we can actually start to lean and rest in a place of confidence, knowing that God has got really a bigger plan for all of this stuff. And no matter what happens, now I'm not being melodramatic now. But no matter what happens, He's got you in a place where you are in a secure salvation. How many people are excited about that? You go, oh yeah, well that's actually a really big deal. You know, in Psalm verse 51, verse 12, it says this. It says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit." Actually says, with a generous spirit in the original rendering. And this is really interesting, because if we see this, we say, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation." How many people have you ever met a Christian that they don't feel like they're operating or abiding in the joy of their salvation? Okay, only one person. Well, I've met a couple, not many, but a couple. And How many people, you know, now I go to the gym a fair bit, as you can tell. And when I go to the gym, I used to go to a trainer. I still see him sometimes, see him a bit. And I complain more than any other of his clients. I know that for a fact, because everything he ever gives me to do, I'm like, oh no. And I go, "I don't want to do this one." And he goes, "Come on, jump squats." "I don't want to do that one. Come on, this one." And I go, "No more." And I complain. And if you ever heard this saying, whinging pom, who's ever heard of that? Look, I'm not going to say if the shoe fits, but sometimes I've been known to whinge about particular things. And just a couple, not often. But what's really interesting is the Bible talks specifically about grumbling and complaining, doesn't it? Now, I believe that what happens, and there's no one here, I'm just talking about me now. What happens when somebody grumbles and complains about something, do you know what it does? It actually disempowers them for the season or the thing that they're actually going through. It's actually a disempowering because your words create a world that you will then abide in. And if you complain, so let me tell you this. If I see, he goes, come on, do 15 push-ups. This is what I had to do a little while ago. Do 15 push-ups. You guys go, it's nothing. Nick's probably going, 15, are you joking? But he gave me 15 push-ups and I was already tired. And I was like, I can't believe you let me do that. And then I was like, tried to do these push-ups and I did five and then I was like, okay, I'm done. And then I just fell and went, whatever. And then he came along, and then this, I'm not going to preach the whole time about the trainer, but I want to tell you, this is really important. He came alongside and he came alongside me and he said, your headspace is just not there. You can easily do this. Easily do this. And I went, yeah, I can. And I got up and I did 15, one set, 15, two sets, bang, 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 out. He said, I told you. You see, what had happened was that my grumbling and complaining, I know it's hard to imagine, but my grumbling and complaining about that particular situation had actually created a world that I wasn't strengthened, but I was actually becoming a defeatist. And you see, what happens is that in the world, you will have many troubles and many trials. You just will. I'm not prophesying. It's just life. Life deals things that, but God has already given us an answer and God has already set something up for you where you can actually be strengthened, you can be edified, and you can actually walk through even sometimes the hardest of seasons, knowing that what's happening in you, that there is something happening in you that you might not be able to see with your natural eye. But when you reach the other side of this, you will carry the spirit of an overcomer that will actually carry a testimony of what Jesus did in your life, and you will be able to slam the enemy in other people's lives because it says the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. What you'll be able to do is you'll be able to say, God, help me walk through this. Therefore, I will not be put to shame. Therefore, I can not only assist others, but I know that whatever I go through, God is going to come through for me. And this is really, really important. And this is what God continually encouraged the people of Israel to do in whatever they were walking through. He was saying, don't forget. Don't forget what I did. Don't forget my benefits. What did David say? Psalm 103. He says, do not forget the Lord and all of his benefits. And so there's something that we need to remember how the Lord has walked us through in the past, but also need to remember that God has given us something that is so absolutely profound in what it is to journey with him and receive a strengthening in our inner man as we walk through the things that he is calling us, or let's just say that he is helping us walk through in this time. Now, you might think that I'm speaking this message and you go, oh, well, you know, I can't believe you're speaking about trials and problems. I work as a pastor, as many of us do. I hear problems every day. Every time I hear levels of suffering, I heard some this morning, something happened, something bad happened, something happened. And we hear it every day. And I'm not in any way saying that, I'm not prophesying, you're about to have a trial, you're about to have whatever. But the reality is that God wants us to understand that whatever it is that we are walking through or connecting to, that if we focus on what's unseen, if we focus on the reality of the cross, if we focus on the reality of our salvation, if we focus on the reality of what he's doing internally in us, creating a weight of glory that we couldn't have had unless we had partnered with him in what it looked like to walk through these things, we will never walk out strengthened and be able to then move into... Is everyone okay? Move into... I just felt something in the spirit. Just went, did you feel that? Just went, whoa, 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 whoa. It was really interesting. Okay, all right. I'll go into that in 1 second. Okay. So, in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 11, it says this. It says, not that I speak from want. Now, this is talking about provision, but this is what Paul says. For I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. Okay, let's go verse 12. I know how to get along with the humble means. I know how to live in prosperity. And in every circumstance, I've learned the secret. Everyone say the secret of being fulfilled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. And what's really interesting is, oh, let's go to the next one too. What's really interesting in verse 13, and this is the most quoted scripture ever. Who's ever been to Coorong before? Okay, or who's ever been to a Christian bookshop? And this is the one, isn't it? I can do all things. Shakarabasate. Through Christ, or through him, or through Christ who strengthens me. And so, but we have to understand that what's the verse that preceded that? Paul said what? I've learnt the secret. What's the secret? That you can do all things in Christ who strengthens you. You see, whatever season you're in, whether you're in lack, whether you're in plenty, whether you're in a season of hardship, whether things aren't going right, whether things are going wrong, the reality is, the truth is that whatever season that you're in, you are able to make a withdrawal from Christ and you can do all things through him who strengthens you. Now, the word strengthens in the original Greek is endynamo. I'm pretty close, I know I am. Because I even wrote little double E's. O, double E always says E. I did it from primary school. So, endynamo. Everyone say endynamo. Come on, you can do it. We can do it together. Endynamo. And I know this is right. And endynamo, that is a good pronunciation. Is everyone okay? Means strengthens me. It actually means to be made strong. It means to be empowered. It means to increase in strength. You see, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me means that you will increase in strength as you allow this reality of who Christ is and who he is for you actually abide in your meditative state, literally in your inner world. If you focus on what, the eyes of your heart, focus on what is unseen instead of what's seen, you actually are strengthened internally. I'm not going to say the word again. Or shall I? Let's do it one more time. Why not? Endynamo. You are endynamoed in the inner man. And then what happens is you have actually been enabled. Now it says this in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12. The Lord, when it says the word endynamo, it's the translation. It sounds African. It's the translation, enabled me. The Lord has enabled me. Now this is really interesting. How many people, you've ever met somebody that's going through a trial and they seem to be doing quite well, a Christian, and it's really quite intense and you're like, wow, you seem in good form. And then they go, actually, God's good, and I'm actually just spending a lot of time with him. How many people you've ever, and four of you, and the rest of you, you've seen someone going through a trial and they don't look very good and they're like, okay, my whole life is over. And so, but this is really interesting, is because what happens is that when we start to walk through and when we start to navigate things, you will start to see somebody's internal world shine through according to what they are meditating on and according to what the eyes of their heart are focused on. That's how you'll be able to read someone. You can actually read where someone is because you can tell if they've actually been focused on the unseen or if they're focused on the temporary. Because those who are focused on the unseen actually make a withdrawal from an eternal realm that strengthens them in the inner man, and then as a result actually enables them, I believe, to walk through trials, suffering, and other things more quickly and overcome. Wow, okay. And become an overcomer. I feel like someone's really, I can't get over this. I can get over it. Just 1 second, just everyone close your eyes just for 1 second, sorry. Is somebody in here, you're really battling with suicide today? And I just don't want anyone looking around. Please close your eyes, everybody. Can you just put your hand up? I want to pray for you right now. It's been a really big struggle. You've been really struggling with suicidal thoughts. Okay, I got you. Just everyone keep your eyes closed. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I declare that you will not live and die. You will not die but live and proclaim what the Lord has done. I can't believe I said that twice. And so, Father, I thank you right now for fullness, and I thank you, God, for healing in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for healing the mind, and we thank you, God, that where there's been an assignment over the thoughts in the heart, Father, we thank you. Let there be no issue in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that the spirit of suicide and depression would go right now in Jesus' name. We thank you for fullness of life. Father, we thank you for long life in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Good. You can look up again. Good. Okay. I said that twice. Now, one time I was praying for someone's father and I got the words mixed up again. How many people have ever had words mixed up before? Now, that isn't a good word to have mixed up. You're going to die and not live. That's not a good one. So forgive me. But it's happened. So it's obviously... Now, I think we're going to get over this. It's going to be okay. Now, if you've ever had an embarrassing moment, people say, wow, I was really embarrassed. No, you haven't. Not compared to that. I'm just joking. I'm just kidding. Okay, now. Okay. So we've got this thing where we can focus on the unseen, where we can focus on the invisible. And as we focus on the invisible, we understand that we gain a strength which is actually of a supernatural origin. Everyone say supernatural origin. You see, when you were born again, you were not born of a natural seed. You were actually born of an imperishable seed. And therefore, you are designed to draw from the things of the supernatural, from the things of the invisible. And your inner man is actually strengthened by the things of the Spirit because you have now, we have now, union with Christ. And so let's put up 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 9. I'm not going to go too much longer because we have more to unpack later, but I just want to go through a few scriptures right now. So blessed is the God of our Father, of the Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Okay. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. You are kept by the power of God. Just say this, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Keep going. In this you greatly rejoice, for though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Remember, this isn't just about persecution. I know it's context dependent with who Peter's writing to, but the reality is that this book is for us. This book is for us. Now it says this, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now just leave it there for a second. That the genuineness of may be what? The genuineness of your faith. We're talking about trials. And then what's on the other side of the trials? Faith. That though it's tested by fire, faith is tested. How many people have ever had their faith tested before? Just a couple of times. Okay. Tested by fire may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Keep going. Okay. Whom having not seen you love. Everyone say having not seen. Now I know some of you are seers. You love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy, inexpressible and full of glory. Now, this is written specifically at a time where things that are happening are not good. So the reality is that Peter's saying there's an inexpressible joy that you can access when you understand that there is something happening to your faith when it's tested by fire that will actually accomplish something. Look at this, joy inexpressible and full of glory that will actually... not just do something in you, but it will produce something for you that actually at the end, no one's end today, by the way, at the end, there is going to be something where it produces praise, honor, and glory to Christ. This is so interesting, isn't it? Why? Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So there is something that we start to understand that the salvation of our souls is something that we can focus on regardless of what we are going through, regardless of what trial, regardless of what suffering. But when we focus on that salvation of our souls, it's actually producing something in us where we can access inexpressible joy. Okay, let's put up James chapter 1. Hold on, you saying that I can access joy, what's the joy connected to? The joy isn't necessarily connected to trials. What's the joy connected to? It's connected to our salvation. It's connected to focusing on the other, on the invisible world when we're walking through something. That's how we start to access something because we see that there is an eternal, something is being transformed or something is being made manifest in us in the invisible world. We can't see it, but something's being created in us that is actually buying us into a different dynamic that's not a temporary dynamic for our life. It's an eternal dynamic. And at the end, when we get saved, or when we get saved, when we are saved, but at the end, you will find that it actually results in this praise, glory, and honor to Christ. It's so interesting. So interesting. Okay, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. So you're right, whoever that was. Okay, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Now, this is my favorite part, and everyone loves this bit. Let's go to the next bit. Let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. So what does it produce in you? You just read it. And let endurance have its perfect result. Now, if we look at the, I'm not going to go back into Romans, but it says that it creates patience. Now, I'm not very patient, and in general, I would say I'm the least patient person in this room, but I'm journeying. It's a fruit of the Spirit. I know that. But the reality is, I want it now. You can wait. Yeah, I can wait 25 seconds. Okay, it is what it is. Now, I actually ordered something recently, and I think I've sent the person who was sending it to me or letting me know. I've sent them so many emails, they've put me on the stalker list. Any news? Any news? Anyway, all right, forget it. Okay, all right. Still got me. None of you know what I'm talking about. Okay, all right. So we're being enabled, and God is saying, I want you to focus on this invisible reality, because as you focus on that, you're not just going to be strengthened in the midst of your trial, you're going to access an inexpressible joy in that that's actually going to propel you through this whole situation and bring you out on the other side in a place where you are stronger, but also where you're carrying more weight of glory. Let me say what more weight of glory means to me. It means you're manifesting more of Him. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So you're actually manifesting more of Christ as a result of journeying through these trials, as a result of your faith being tested, as a result of things not going right, but you focusing on the invisible world during whatever it is, you're actually creating within you more of the manifestation of Christ Himself coming through your life, and you're starting to carry more weight of glory. It's really interesting. Because in the olden days with the apostles and the people that wrote the majority of the New Testament, what started to, they were under persecution. And what happens is that they were talking about the things that were happening in persecutions, but they were in a position where they counted it joy to be persecuted for His name. Okay, I'm gonna just say a couple of things to do with that, because I do believe it's of the Lord. So they counted it joy to be persecuted for His name. That's what it says in the Word. When Paul went out to go and do what he did, and he did his missionary journeys and everything, how many people had gone out before him to spread the gospel? How many? None. He was the first. So instead of going to a region that many other missionaries have been to before, and yes, there have been some contending, but things have been displaced, nothing had ever been displaced, as it were, unless Jesus did some stuff, and we don't know exactly what He did. We do kind of, but we don't as well, you know what I'm saying? But He would go, and He would go, okay, we're going here. No one said, I'm going to pioneer this gospel. I'm going to pioneer here. I'm going to pioneer. And we go, yes, I'm going to be a pioneer. How many pioneers we got here? Come on. Pioneers, you're going to need a lot of grace. You're going to need to focus on your salvation all the time. Why? Because you've got to carve new ground. Carving new ground. People go, wow, Daryl, you're a prophetic pioneer. I'm not. I'm a little bit. But let me tell you this right now. I come under someone else. I follow after someone else. You see, I'm going to New Zealand at the end of the week. Do you know who's there now? Todd. He can pioneer, and I'll just come in. And I'll just come in and do my thing. And, wow, Daryl, that was an amazing ministry. It was awesome. It was so awesome. I go, yeah, it was awesome. And Todd's coming back smelling of dragon smoke, you know. And I'm smelling of Pierre Cardin, you know. It's good. It's the way I like it. Avoid pain at all cost. But But I'm being funny, but I'm not, because this world that we live in and the things that we're being called to do, yes, there's grace, but how many of you know that Paul said, because of the grace that I've been given, I work harder than all of you? There is something about, yes, there was grace. How many think Paul the Apostle had grace? But it says that he was going through trial consistently. He was going through suffering consistently for the gospel. But how many of you think Peter had grace? But he was suffering consistently for the gospel. How many people think that James had grace? James ran the first New Testament church. So, but do you think that there was persecution at the time? That James was being undertaken? How many of you think that everybody, they're all prison here doing the... Why? Because they were being called to take something out and it was in opposition to the spiritual dynamics that existed in the places they were going. It was in direct opposition. Everyone say direct opposition. So then what happened as a result is that there was a contending in the realm of the spirit, and sometimes that came in the form of persecution. Sometimes that came in the form of beatings. That's the same kind of thing. Sometimes people had to die for their faith. They did. Well, it's called being a martyr. Hold on, you can't use the M word in church. Okay, well, they used it a fair bit in the olden days. Who uses the word olden days? I do all the time. My son thinks I'm old. He says, your kids just say, you're old. I'm like, don't ever say that. But this is the thing. You see, in history, we are in a transitional point. And I know we know that. But let me tell you this. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. But I was listening to a message just the other day, and it was by a guy called David Pawson. I don't know if you like David Pawson or not. It doesn't make any difference if you do or not. He's a great Bible teacher, and he's been around for many, many years. But this message was called, it was to leaders, and it said, have you prepared your church for persecution? And it was a few years ago. It was in England. And if any of you know anything about what's happening in the UK at the moment, pastors are being arrested for preaching from the book of Genesis. Not even joking, mentioned it before. Not just that, but pastors are being arrested in Canada, pastors are being arrested in many different places. Why? Because they're standing on the word of God, but the word of God is contrary to the spirit world that they are now pushing up against. This is very, very crazy. And so you go, hold on a second, no, it's okay, it's fine. We're all gonna be okay. Okay, good, I'm glad you said that. Because the reality is that I believe that in this season that we are in now, this transitional point where there has been demonic agendas pushed through the earth, that is just the beginning of some of what the church is going to have to walk through. And I'm not saying you're all heavy walking like this. Oh, my life is so terrible. No. That's not how we walk through what we're being called to walk through. The way we walk through it is in triumphant procession in Christ. You see, we are all victorious because of what Christ has done. Therefore, whatever happens, we have the ability to learn the secret of being content in every circumstance, but not submitting to the demonic, but actually challenging the forces of darkness by saying, not on our watch, and this is what this is going to look like, and whatever this looks like, I'm standing for the gospel, and I'm standing for who I am. For who I am in Christ, and for who Christ is on the earth. And this is so important. I travelled once to a place in Russia called Vladivostok, and I was in Vladivostok. And Vladivostok is on the border of North Korea. And I was having dinner. And I might have told this story before, but I was having dinner and we're all at a table and we're a couple of people and there are a couple of pastors there from North Korea. And it's fine. It doesn't matter if this goes out live. It's fine. It's many years ago. And the pastors in North Korea, they were like, now we were sharing funny stories as you do, because, you know, oh yeah, God's saying this, God's saying that. And then they told a couple of their stories. And I felt like crawling under the table and never talking again. One guy there, his whole congregation was killed, murdered, all of them. It wasn't on the news though, was it? Did you guys hear that? No, of course it wasn't. So he goes, okay, tell us. And then the guy that was there, he said, why don't we just listen to what they got to say? And he said, I think he said he's had two congregations, just confirm it with Todd, two congregations killed, all of them. What does that look like? Well, that looks like them standing for something, but yet they were martyred for their faith. This is crazy, right? In many countries all over the world, people stand for something. In the underground churches, people go to, the pastors go to prison all the time. In and out of prison, 90 days here. Anyway, the reason I'm saying that is that we were at the table and they said, okay, we've got a really good opportunity for you. This is a true story. And they said, we're going to take you over the border. True story. And I was like looking down and I was like, okay, there are some things that Belinda would let me do. I know. But crossing that border, no, it wasn't. Would you have let me? No. Oh, actually, don't even answer. Can I tell you a story? At the height of the pandemic, when Myanmar was in a really, really dangerous place, this is a true story, we had tickets to Myanmar, and I'm in the kitchen, and I said, oh, I'm so glad that we've cancelled that now because the pandemic was out of control. People weren't able to leave Myanmar. It's on the border of China, really close to Wuhan. This is a true story. This is in February. When did the world shut down? March. And then I'm in the kitchen and Belinda goes, I just really think you should go to Myanmar. And I'm like, no, the team are cancelling. She goes, no, you should just go by yourself. Now I'm thinking to myself, has she read my life insurance policy? I'm just joking. But she's a woman of God and she heard from the Lord. She did. And I wouldn't like, it was a rather turbulent trip in many ways. But the reality was very intense. But the reality was that I was able to go there and fulfill something that God needed me to fulfill while I was in Myanmar. It's really interesting. The reason I'm saying that is because there are some things that God is going to ask us to do that aren't just uncomfortable in this new season. They're not just uncomfortable, but they're actually going to, I believe, asking the remnant, they're actually going to blow our minds with, yes, the power of God coming through, but actually for some people, the enormity of what he actually asks us to do. The enormity of what he asks us to do. For some of us, he's actually going to ask us to go to very persecuted places. For some of us, because we're in a, not that free, but relatively free, emphasis on relative, but there are things that he's going to ask us to do, not today, not tomorrow, but there will be windows of time. There will be seasons and windows of opportunity in this next season. And sometimes those opportunities will be presented to you. And sometimes the Lord is going to say, you need to take that window. Some of us are going to move into things and do things that we've only really read about in history books of missionaries. So we've only read about transformations of society that we've only seen on videos, that we've only read in the book of Acts. Some of us are going to see, I believe that many of us are going to see some of these things come to pass through our life because we are at a time in history like never before. We are at a time in history where it's a he who dares wins, but God is going to empower us to fulfill the mission and the mandate under heaven that he's called us to. And I'm excited about it. Because how many of you know that one man or one woman with God is a majority? If God be for me, who can be against me? And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How good is God? Awesome. Let's just pray. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much for this word today. Thank you for empowering us in any and every season that you're calling us into. Father, I thank you that the trials produce within us faith, that they produce within us a weight of glory that we couldn't obtain unless we had faced them with you. And so, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, for any person in this place that's facing any kind of major trial right now, we pray strength. We pray focus. We speak endurance. And we thank you, God, that it says in your world, in your word, that you will complete the good work that you started in our lives. We thank you that we can rejoice and glory in the joy of our salvation. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. You can grab your communions. Oh, that was good tearing. Lord Jesus, we just thank you so much for what you did. And we acknowledge that today, being Pentecost Sunday, represents the day where your Holy Spirit empowered people with the go of the gospel, that they were endued with power. It means the power clothed them. And so, Father, we thank you right now for Jesus. We thank you for everything that he did. And we thank you for the opportunity that we have in 2021 to speak the word in power to all of creation. And so right now, in Jesus' name, we choose to honor you as we recognize and reflect on what you did at the cross and the opportunity that we have to see your gospel spread out to the ends of the earth, in Jesus' name. Feel free to take your communion whenever you want. And just when you've done that, sorry, I want to land. I don't mean to cut into this moment. But if you could just, if you've been going through a trial or something at the moment, and you that message really spoke to you, can you just stand to your feet? You'll know who you are. Don't be scared. We just want to release over you right now that this momentary trial is for but a moment. This momentary trial is for but a moment. You guys that are standing, just say that under your breath or however you want to, but just say, this trial is for just a moment. And we declare right now that it is producing in you a weight of glory that will blow your mind as you reach the other side. And we declare that there will be an end to this matter, and this matter will end well. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you will release over each person standing your spirit of hope, and that hope will eradicate all foreboding, knowing that regardless of what happens, you work all things for good for those who love you and are called according to your purposes. In the name of Jesus. And just point your hands towards these people. And just, right, we're just going to release the word strength. So after three, in the name of Jesus, we release 1, 2, 3, strength into each and every person in the name of Jesus. Let's do that again. We release 1, 2, 3, strength in Jesus' name. Last time, we release 1, 2, 3, strength into the core of each and every one of these people in the name of Jesus. And we say, you will accomplish. Let's say, everyone that's praying, just say this with me. Say, you will accomplish all that concerns you. Let's say that again. You will accomplish all that concerns you. Let's go again. You will accomplish all that concerns you in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Come on. Let's give the Lord a shout of praise. Come on. So good. Well, we are officially finished for the morning service. We look forward to seeing you, some of you, on Tuesday night at the 7:30 service. It's going to be an awesome week, and I just want to, just bless you guys. It's going to be, I really believe that there's going to be a strengthening of many people as a result of coming this morning, that you're going to feel so empowered and invigorated as a result of being in the presence of the Lord, in Jesus' name. Come on. So good. Bless you guys. Have a wonderful lunch.